Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Oladipo kicks it out. Young, three,
four. Back-to-back threes here by Thaddeus Young.
I don't know that it's going to be the back-to-back threes that will be the high expectation for Thaddeus Young, but he's certainly gotten better at that throughout his career and can do a little bit of that. Let's find out more about the second newest Chicago Bull, now that Thomas Satoransky's been added as well. Scott Agnes is on Twitter, at Scott Agnes, Pacers beat writer and Pacers podcaster, joins us on the Al Pamati Ford Hotline. Al Pamati Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. What's happening, Scott? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just catching up with all of this news, right? More than $3 billion of contracts committed. That was an amazing night last night.
Just crazy. The fact, I want to say that on most of these lists of the top available free agents, like number 27 or wherever you put Seth Curry, like that's the last guy standing right now that's still unsigned.
Yeah, and of course the big one is Kawhi Leonard we're waiting on. That could tilt the scales in the Lakers' favor if he ends up headed that way.
So what do you see in Thaddeus Young? I know many had written up, and the Pacers themselves gave Thaddeus a pretty nice little salute on his way out as he signs with the Bulls. What does he do best? How do you figure he fits in, and how does he establish culture for the Bulls, who are asking him to do all three of those things?
So the running joke with me on Twitter is anytime I say his name, I begin it with glue guy, because that's exactly who he is. He's a culture setter. He's been a foundational piece for the Pacers franchise since he's been here. And I joked with Darnell Mayberry, our beat writer in Chicago, and I said the biggest winner last night was you, because he's going to be your go-to guy in the locker room. He would do every single interview. He's a true professional. Now, on the court, what you're getting is a now 13-year veteran as he enters another year. Here and gets that under his belt. He's a guy that's been through rebuilding projects before. He was in Philly, stop in Brooklyn. The Pacers were a playoff team already, but he had to be that leader. He's a co-captain of the franchise the last couple of years. And I think one of the biggest things that most people don't observe about his game is his off-ball help on the defensive end. Depending on who he's matched up against, oftentimes he might float around or quickly, you know, jolt over to save another guy's man, then quickly help back over to his man. And I think he's an underrated defender that was worthy of consideration even for all defensive team honors this past season.
I know the positions in the league have become fungible. We don't talk about pure 3, 4, and 5 with so many front court positions being interchangeable. But what is he most comfortable doing? What actual work responsibilities positionally does he fit?
Yeah, so he's your traditional power forward. Now, he will step out and can step out and will attempt a three or two a game, but that's really not his game at all, being that stretch four, and that's really what now more and more teams are looking for, right? And so what you'll see from him more so, working in the post, great finisher with his left hand, not so much with his right hand, but he's gotten better with that, I would say, over the years. But he just, more than anything also, he just does the dirty work, the hustle stats. He's going to dive after it on the board in the middle of December when no one's at that game. And he's also just a dependable guy. I think that's the other thing to me that stands out about his work ethic.
So after a player poll that y'all put out that had Jim Boylan listed as the coach NBA players would least like to play for, I thought maybe there could be an issue with the Bulls search in free agency. Is Thaddeus Young a guy who's just immune to that kind of stuff, given his personality the way you describe it? Or maybe are the results of that poll just a little overblown?
I would say it's a couple things. For one, Jim Boylan was top of mind, I think, when we were going around and asking players, right? That was maybe, I want to say, a month or two when we were conducting that poll into when he took over. And we still heard about all those various things that had gone on in Chicago And, of course, the leadership council that gets a lot of publicity and, you know, the fact that he, made players come in after a second night of a back-to-back in practice. And that's something I remember distinctly being in the Pacers locker room and talking with some of the veterans, including Darren Collison, who was under consideration before he retired to go there. And we were discussing how that in the NBA today is such a big no-no. These guys obviously need to get their rest on the second night of the back-to-back, and it has become unheard of for that situation. Now, on Thad's point of view, in terms of just being there every single day, that's exactly who he is. He doesn't want to sit out games. In fact, he had to tried to negotiate his way onto the court in game 82 the last 2 years, but in turn allowed the coaching staff to do what they thought was best, and that was to rest him in the final game of the year, as the Pacers already had their playoff seed locked up. He's one that wants to go out, earn his contract, and play hard every day. And I think he's one, while he quietly speaks his mind and is a true leader in the locker room, I think he also goes off really trying to show the young guys how to do things, not just talk, but also show them. And he shows a lot with his actions, I would say.
How much time does he spend in the weight room? Because there's a lot of Bulls that could do well by having a 31-year-old team leader who is spending his time in there and showing them they need to be there too.
It's like you're teeing me up, because this is a little-known fact about Thad. During the season, he does not lift weights, he says. Right now, he's lifting probably 4 days a week, and he goes hard doing it. But during the season, he says, hey, I'm a vet. It just doesn't work for me. I don't lift weights.
Okay.
Well, we'll
see how that plays, because I know there are Bulls who would be better served to try to keep up a little bit of muscle mass during the season. So it's an interesting note. So you're saying he's not shy about speaking up during a huddle, though, that there's showing and setting an example is one thing, but is he somebody who's actually, as a play is going to be diagrammed, puts his finger on the board and said, you know what, let's set this screen at this angle, or let's make sure that you look for a backdoor turn here?
Yeah, but it's more so players coming out. Maybe your young gun, second guy into the league, comes out. He's going to put his arm around him, sit next to him on the bench, point out things while the game is going on. Yeah, he does a lot of subtle things like that you'll notice on the bench, maybe before they huddle up as a group. Although I will say there was numerous times last year, Pacers had struggled in the third quarter often. There would be times when maybe they get behind double digits where Thad would take charge and explain the situation and how they got to figure it out. Whatever it is, they got to figure it out. He's not afraid of speaking up or speaking at all. But it's in a positive tone. It's in an encouraging tone. And he is so well-respected by this locker room. He was one of 12 players voted for that Leadership Award, Teammate of the Year Award. So there, I think for the Bulls, who are trying to rise their way back up, I think he is a great veteran leader that would be valued by any franchise.
Talking about the Pacers and Thaddeus Young with Scott Agnes. He covers the team. You can follow him on Twitter, at Scott Agnes. I want to ask you a little bit about Malcolm Brogdon being added to the Indiana roster. I wonder what the plan is overall for their backcourt there, and if you'd heard at all that Brogdon was on the Bulls' radar as he went to the Pacers. We'd heard some rumors about it. I wonder if you know whether or not the Pacers saw competition from the Bulls for Brogdon.
I had not heard anything concrete, but what I did hear about an hour before real free agency, hand quotes here, got started, probably about 5 p.m. Eastern time, I really hear in heavy interest that the Bucks were calling around, seeking out a possible sign-and-trade deal, and then what do you know, about an hour and a half later, they found one with the Pacers. So I was able to hear that. Now, in terms of the Pacers' backcourt and with Brogdon, what they envision here, obviously Brogdon, a combo guard, but he'd play more at the point guard spot, eventually paired alongside with Victor Oladipo. But for now, Oladipo is expected to miss at least 1 month of the season, at the very least. He continues to rehab down in Miami from his quad injury. And I think that's where then Jeremy Lamb, who they also agreed to a 3-year deal with yesterday, that's where he can really step up and fill that void in the meantime. Lamb was a starter for much of the year in Charlotte, but then became really a six-man type of guy. So I think for the Pacers, I think that sets up very nicely in their backcourt, and they got much younger. Thad Young's a guy in his 30s. Bojan Bogdanović, who they lost, is in their 30s. Collison was in his 30s. now Oladipo's the old hat, as guys are all 27 and under with that starting group.
Why did Collison retire?
Very good question. I'm going to take him at his word, right? Of that faith and family. And I knew those things were very important to him. I guess I'm not sure anybody here realized it was that much of an importance to him. He's a guy that clearly could probably be making $12 million per year at least. We saw his teammate previously, Corey Joseph, just get that on average with the Sacramento Kings. I know he had bigger things in store. He was always thinking about what's next. A couple of years ago when he turned 30, he had a deep interpersonal time when he was really thinking about, A, how to be a better player and maximize his abilities at that age, but also thinking ahead to what's next. Kind of leaned on Steve Nash for a couple of phone calls, who he shares an agent with. But this was a stunner. I was texting right around with the Pacers front office. What was that, about 11 p.m. on Friday night? Mm-hmm. They were stunned by that because we all know he had suitors. And I thought, honestly, what made the most sense was for him to stay home in L.A. and play for the Lakers, get a nice contract, and not have the demands of having to do so much as a starting point guard necessarily. But it was a stunner.
Well, because the narrative kind of writes itself here, where you could see this as the Bulls had interest and he decided he didn't want to play basketball as an alternate option to actually playing basketball for the Bulls. They would rather not play.
No.
And I don't know if that's true or not. And frankly, the fact that that would spur the Bulls to go get Thomas Satoransky might end up being a good thing for them anyway.
That would be a cynical way to look at it, because I'm not sure anyone would turn down $12 million just because of a poor fit either. If that was something similar, right, to what he would be worth. He was relatively healthy, I will say, for being 31. He felt maybe the best he had in quite a while, because he had been dealing with knee issues over the last 2 or 3 years that required minor operations. But, no, I don't believe it as a situation where, say, a lack of offers. That was not the issue. The issue was he wanted to move forward with something else and for now at least put basketball behind him.
Scott, appreciate it. Thanks for the info. We'll talk again soon.
Very good. One thing I want to tip off to you and your listeners. Follow Thad Young's wife on Twitter, Mrs. Young, Shekinah Young. She's a fascinating and hilarious follow. And their two sons are adorable. You'll see them out before almost every single day.
Well, all right then.
Okay.
Scott, thanks for the tip.
Thanks for the tip. We appreciate that too.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.